and then you look back at your life after even just a few short months of living for God, but especially those that have been walking with God for years, we look back, God, where the Lord has brought us to, how He's brought us out, how He's kept us. He's kept us through everything, every fault, every failure, every attack. He's kept us. Every sickness, come on, He's kept us. He's always been there. He's never let us go. He loves us. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Times that you and I ourselves would say that we probably would have given up on ourselves. The Lord just kept loving us, being there for us. And here we are today. To our guests, we welcome you. It is our prayer that you are blessed of the Lord today, that you receive everything from Him that He has for you. And I promise you that He has nothing but good for you. All good things come from above. All good gifts, the word of the Lord says. And He has wonderful things in store for all of us here today if we will receive it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 13. Just one verse. And now abideth, everybody say, and now abideth, say faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Lord, we thank you for your word. It's precious to us. Let us learn from your word today. Strengthen us, touch our hearts and our minds and our spirits. Father, I pray that everyone in this building that is not filled with your spirit, that somehow there would be a hunger born in them in this service to know you intimately, to be filled with your power, to be washed, Lord, in your blood in baptism. Oh God, let the power of redemption rest upon this congregation. We pray, Father, we ask it in the wonderful, mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say amen. Amen. Turn to two or three and say, I have faith and hope and I've come to get a little charity. Lord bless you. You can be seated. If you'll be patient with me today and give me just a few minutes to kind of warm up a little bit and get connected to where God is leading us and what He wants to say to us today, just stay in tune in your heart and in your mind for what the Lord is here to do amongst us. Now, when I started out on this verse, I said that it would probably take us 4, maybe 6 weeks to finish what I felt the Lord had laid upon my heart. However, I think this is week number 8. But we will finish today, Lord willing. I feel like we will. I encourage this congregation, those of you that have not been here for the last several weeks on Wednesdays and Sundays. Speaking of Wednesday, wow, what a message that Brother Dross preached to this congregation on Wednesday night. What a powerful message. If you were here, you received the altar call. It was incredible. And we were blessed about a God of miracles. and protection and provision and the testimonies that he gave. I encourage you to go to the podcast on our website and listen to Wednesday night's message, as well as the messages, that are titled, And Now Abideth. There's six or seven of them. And it will bring you through hope, or bring you through faith and hope. And today we're going to speak for a few minutes on charity, which of course is an inexhaustible subject. We understand that. But we're just going to touch on it a little bit here today. This verse, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, and verse number 13, when you go back and read verses 1 through 12, you can get a little bit better understanding of what Paul the Apostle was speaking to the church of Corinth. In fact, in verse number 12, the word of the Lord says, For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I be known even as I am known. We talked about that Paul the Apostle was making a comparison. The day is going to come when we will be with him. And when we will be with him, there will be no fear. When we are with him, there will be no need of provision. We are with him, we don't have to worry about disease or the immorality of the way that our country and even the world is heading, because we will be with him, and we will be with him forever. Do you want to go and be with the Lord Jesus? Amen. Paul the Apostle goes on to let us know that that is then, but this is now. Now, we are with him in a way. We can feel him. He abides in our heart when we are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. He writes his law, the Bible says, across our heart. We begin to learn and understand right from wrong, good from evil. Changes our path, the way we think, the things we do, the places we go, the way we dress, the things we drink and eat. Everything about our life changes when we meet him. But thank God it all changes for the good. Before I knew him, I almost killed myself, my best friend, and his girlfriend in a car accident because we were drinking. Before I knew him, there were another accident I almost died in. When I didn't know him, there were times when I thought I wasn't going to wake up because I was going to overdose on drugs. When I didn't know him, I did things that were foolish when I was drunk that I regretted the next day and embarrassed. When I didn't know him, I ate things that weren't good for me, drank things that weren't right, went places I shouldn't have gone, said things I shouldn't have said, thought things I shouldn't think, read things I shouldn't read, listen to things I shouldn't listen to. But since I have known him, come on somebody, anybody out there know him? Oh my God, have mercy. Since I have known him, he's taught me how to have love. He's taught me how to have peace. He showed me where to walk and be safe. He showed me how to talk and be right. My God, have mercy. Oh, I wish there was a little bit more of a praise to the Lord right now. Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him? But even in all the good things that he has done for me and has done for you, we still live in the here and the now. Paul the Apostle says, because you live here. Where's here? Here is in this fallen world. Here is in the world that is, the Bible calls, an untoward generation. A generation that's going away from God. Every day that you and I wake up, this world is a little more evil than it was yesterday. Every day that you and I breathe the breath of life, we live in a world where men are constantly devising and coming up up with things that are against God, His law, and His ways. We live in an untoward generation, but not only in the world, but in our flesh. You see, you and I live in a fallen flesh. Galatians 5 and 19 talks about the works of the flesh are manifested. Which of these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness. And it goes on and on and on and on. So Paul the apostle says, this is the here and the now. This is where we live. This is where we walk. This is where we exist. So Paul the apostle said, if you're going to make it in this world until you get to that world, you're going to need a little faith. You're going to need some hope, and you're going to need some charity. And that's what we've been talking about for the last 7 weeks. We've been talking about faith and how that we are to take on the shield of faith, which quenches the fiery darts of the devil. When I have faith in my heart, no matter what the devil shoots at me, the power of faith will cause me to overcome. The power of faith will cause me to continue in my walk with God. I will not throw in the towel. I will not give up. My God, have mercy. I like it the way that general said it. I don't know which one it was. He says, we have yet begun to fight. You haven't seen nothing yet, devil. We're just waking up. We're just getting going. We're just going forward. Somebody shout, I have faith. And we learn that we don't only need faith if we're going to make it in this world, but we need hope. Somebody say hope. Say, I have hope. I like that song, I have hope. That's all I know. I think I tried to sing that a couple weeks ago and couldn't think of any words. Man, it's a good song. You'll listen to it sometime. But we looked at that word hope, and it has three levels of understanding. The first is expectation. Everybody say, I expect. You see, when you have hope in God, you expect Him to do something. I hope you came to the house of God expecting God to do something in your life and in the life of somebody else. When you have hope, you have confidence. Not only do you expect Him to do it, but you have confidence that they are able to do it. And because you expect them to do it, and you have confidence that they can do it, then the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. That's the power of hope. So we learned what hope would do for us. What does hope do? Hope, when all despair has come against you, when the weights and the woes and the pressures of this world has weighed you down, when everything has fallen apart around you, when everything's going wrong and nothing's right, you link up your hope to your faith, and you get up and you say, it might be midnight, but joy comes in the morning. That's hope. Somebody shout hope. How can you bear the night? Because joy's coming in the morning. How can you bear the sickness? Because I have hope in that my God is the healer. How can you bear the pressure? Because I have hope that my God is the deliverer. We learned that faith is current hope. Hope is the chariot in which faith rides upon and carries it into our future days. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8 says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So Paul, to the church of Thessalonica, he brings the three together again: faith, hope, and charity, which is love. We learn that hope is born out of tribulation. I don't have time. I've just got to skip by it. I've got to get to charity. But you need to listen to the tapes. God helped us. God blessed us. And if we're going to make it in this world, listen, God doesn't need a church that's walking around kind of dragging itself through the day, hoping just to get by and make it so you can hide in your home. No, God's church needs to be able to stand up and face the adversity that is in front of it and walk in faith and walk in hope and walk in charity and overcome and defeat every adversary. Listen, friend, the Bible tells us greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Word of God tells us, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy. My friend, that gives me hope. That gives me hope that no matter what I'm facing, I'm greater through Christ. No matter what comes against me, I'm greater through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Is there a believer in the house? Give him some praise. And so our text today said, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. This word here, charity, agape, is the word that the Bible uses for a God love. A type of love that goes beyond human ability. But it is a love that is imparted into you from Christ. Before you knew him, you could not love that way. You could only love man's way. And when you love man's way, you're inconsistent. Huh? Come on, somebody talk to me now. When you love man's way, you love them when they're doing good and you're mad at them when they're doing bad. When you love a man's way, as long as they're loving you back, we're all linked up. But when they turn on you, oh baby, it's cut it, it's over, it's done. That's man's love. Inconsistent, up and down, and just kind of crazy and chaotic. But God's love, God's love, God's love. Let the preacher just talk to us a little bit here today. I'm going to tell you, it's because of God's love that I'm here right now. Because if God loved me like men love men, I wouldn't be here. Oh, neither would you. But God's love is consistent. It never changes. It never wavers. While we were yet sinners, the Bible says Christ died for us. He didn't love me because I'm good, and he don't hate me when I'm bad. He just loves me all the time. Somebody shout love. Love of God. This word, it actually means this word here, charity, agape, it means to have a great, overwhelming affection. And in one definition, it says a love feast, to be in a festival of love. The foundational meaning means to be larger, stronger, the elder, the overseer, the guidance, the controller. You see, what Paul the apostle was saying is that we need faith and we need hope, but we need love to guide it. We need our faith and our hope to be founded upon love, because even in faith and hope, we can become hurtful and bitter and critical and arrogant and all the other things that go with it. But if it's based on the love of God, only kind of love that God can give you, then your faith will never be arrogant and your hope will never shun others, but it will be inclusive
and outreaching and gentle and touching with the love of an Almighty God. That word means to be the one that is most respected. You see, the essence of agape love, and give me just a few minutes here today, because I want to talk to the church about love. It's not something we preach about very often, but we probably should every day. Because it's the foundation of our walk with God. And if we could get a hold of the love of God in our hearts, the way that God has called us to love Him and to love one another, a lot of isms and schisms would just disappear. We would be so focused on a world that is lost and dying without God. We won't have time to care whether a brother or sister said or done something that doesn't agree with us. I don't have time to mess around with that. I'm too busy reaching for a world that is lost. I'm too busy loving a sinner. I'm too busy reaching out to somebody that's lost and undone, because the love of God demands it. The love of God calls it. The love of God produces it. Somebody say the love of God. And so this agape word, we find here in the Word of God. It is not reference, of course, to romantic or even sexual of any way. It does not refer to friendship or brotherly love or the love between a man or a woman. Those words are different. There's four types of love words in the Word of God. We don't have time to get into those. But the agape is the love which is of God and from God. It is the very nature of God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 8. God is love. You see, God does not merely just love us. God is love Himself. Everything God does flows through His love. Even when He is chastening you, it is flowing through His love. The Word of God says that if He didn't love you, He'd leave you alone. Because if He left you alone, you would fall deeper into your sin until you would find yourself in a devil's hell. But because He is in love with you, and because He loves you, He chastens you and He corrects you, and He's in our lives directing us and showing us what it is and where it is we need to do in things. Why? Because of His love. He does not love, He is love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Give me a few moments here. Just stay with me. Don't lose me. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8. We certainly don't have time to read all of these verses. But the Word of God says, if I speak in tongues, if I have the gifts of prophecy, if I understand all mysteries, if I have all knowledge, if I have all faith, if I bestow my goods to feed the poor, if I give my body to be burned, but I have not charity, He said, it profited me nothing. I just become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I am nothing. It profit me nothing. And so we can do all of these things, but if it does not flow from the love of God, it accomplishes nothing and it means nothing. I think the problem of the church is we need to get back of doing everything we do through the love of God. If I can't get anything else through us, let me get this through us right now. We need to stop loving the world with our love. We need to stop loving the world with our patience and our ability, because we don't have a lot of patience and our love is way too inconsistent. That's the reason why we'll reach for a sinner one day, but then they'll do something and then we'll stop reaching for them and we'll make comments like this: whatever they get, they deserve. They shouldn't have done that. They should have known better. They were breaking the laws of God. That's why this has come upon them. That is not the love of God. That is man's love. God's love never quits. God's love never stops. Until they take their last breath, the love of God is there, reaching for them through me and through you. Come on, somebody. Help the preacher today. I think part of the problem of the church is that we stop loving the world through the love of God, and we're trying to love them through our limited, our lack of understanding, our impatient love. That's what's happening to the church. And because of that, our burden has weakened. Our desire to go out and reach the lost, it's no longer what it used to be. But if we can not only have faith and not only have hope, but get a hold of the love of God, it will change our walk with God forever. And it will change everybody around us because of the power of the love of God. All right, let's go a little bit further. Tell your neighbor, you need the love of God. Now, Romans 5 and 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed. Why? You know, if I hope in something, if I hope in something, and I tell everybody about it, my daddy gonna buy me a brand new bike for Christmas, because I heard him talking to somebody about it, and I get to hoping in that. I get to expecting. I know he can, because he works at the 7-Eleven, and they pay big bucks at the 7-Eleven. And my dad is going to buy me this bike for Christmas, and we hope, and we tell everybody. Christmas comes and Christmas goes, and the bike doesn't come, and our hope is dashed. Alone with it may even come a little shame. Now watch me. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that there were many. You know, we like to read the book of Hebrews and look at in chapter 11, and we look at all of the wonderful things where the word of the Lord says how God delivered this one, delivered that one, how he opened up the Red Sea, how he gave Abraham or Sarah a child at 90 years old. And oh, we look at all of the great events in the book of Hebrews, and we call them the heroes of faith. But I got news for you. In that same chapter, under that same title, the heroes of faith, the Bible says, and there were those who were sawed asunder, there were those who were killed, there were those who were drowned, there were those boiled in oil, there were those cast off on islands, there were those, and the Bible says, believing and waiting on the promise, but never ever received the promise, and they died, the Bible says, having not received the promise, yet they were not ashamed. Why? Because hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. What are you preaching, Pastor? What I'm preaching is this: when the love of God is in you, it don't matter if things don't go your way. When the love of God is in your heart, you don't get upset when the answer doesn't come, when everything's not just right. You are so in love with him, and you understand that he is in love with you, and he means the best for you, that what come may, I will never be ashamed. I will never be ashamed to call him my God. If I die of a disease, I'll never be ashamed. If I die poor, I'll never be ashamed. If I die hated, I'll never be ashamed. If I die forsaken, I'll never be ashamed. Because his love for me, his love through me by the power of the Holy Ghost is more powerful than shame. Now, you think I'm just preaching off the top of my head. But I'm telling you right now, half of this congregation is bound by shame. You're bound by shame. The hope of God maketh not ashamed. by the love of God shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Ghost. You see, what happened is you have replaced the love of God with your love. When you first got in the church, it was the love of God. It was pure and powerful. And when things didn't go your way, it didn't matter. When things fell apart, it was okay. I just can't wait to get to the house of God. I don't have the gas in my car. And even if I did, the alternator's broke and the radiator's leaking. I tell you what, I'll take the bus. Oh, wait a minute. The bus don't run on Sunday. I'll figure out a way. I'll get here somehow. Why? Because I'm not ashamed. Because the love of God is in me. And I'm going to make my way to the house of God. And I'm going to love Him. And I'm going to praise Him. And when I get home, if that check's not in the mail, like I heard the other sister testify, and when I get home, if the answer doesn't come, like I heard that other brother testify, it's all right, God. It was never about me anyway. It's always been about You, and it's always been about the loss. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. I'm going to touch on some sensitive subjects. Bring shame and condemnation. You need to replace your love with the love of God, and He'll take care of that. I would probably say, I'm stepping out on a limb, I don't know, but I would probably say nearly at least a quarter, if not half, of this congregation has been molested in some form or fashion in your childhood days. I was. It wasn't by one of my family members. It was by a friend's house I was staying at. And a grown man, obviously the homosexual spirit, came in and tried to begin to molest me. God spared me of that, thank the Lord. And we got out and we went on. But still a horrible event. And it taints your mind and it affects your spirit. And it touches you in a very ugly way. And I'm talking to men and women here today that your aunt and your uncle and your cousin or your friend's friend has touched you in a way you should have never been touched, dealt with you in a way you should have never been dealt. And it brings shame and condemnation. And you try to love God, but it's difficult sometimes because it keeps coming up in your mind and it keeps coming up in your spirit. I'm here to tell you the answer right now. If you will replace your love, listen to Pastor real quick. You want to love them, but you hate the deed they've done. You want to respect them, but you hate what they've done. It's because it's your love. You got to remove your love and you got to replace it with the love of God, because hope maketh not ashamed when the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't get through to some of you. Come on. Come on. You got to let me break that barrier. God's come to help you today. You see, there's too many of us. We think all we need is faith and hope. We can make it in this world and we can make it in our walk with God as long as we have faith and we have hope. I believe God's a healer. I believe God's a deliverer. I have faith in God. I'll speak to this mountain. It'll be removed. I have hope. I know He can. I have confidence He will. I'll rejoice in Him. And you see God do all kinds of miracles. You see God move mountains. You watch God heal cancers. You watch God put marriages together. You watch God do wonderful things. You see God bring people in and He fills them with the Holy Ghost, and God does incredible things through you, and you say to yourself, oh my, I'm okay. No, you're missing a factor. Here's where it's at. It's the love of God. Yes, God's using you. Yes, God's blessing you, but you can't get over your shame. You can't really break in like you desire to break in of that level with God, and it's because the only thing that can do that is His love inside of you. Somewhere you need to understand that no matter what's happened, no matter what's been done to you, Jesus Christ loves you. I wish somebody would clap their hands to the Lord. I wish you'd give praise to God right now. Come on, church, let's worship for a moment. Worship for a moment. You tell yourself, I see God doing all these things. I weep when I lift my hands. I feel His power from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Yet, plaguing me in the back of my mind are these things that were done to me, or maybe plaguing you in the back of your mind are things that you have done. I am here to tell this congregation, by the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, God's love is greater than your condemnation. God's love is greater than your shame. I want everybody to stand to your feet. Come on, everybody, everybody. Throw your hands in the air. Come on. Throw your hands in the air. Let the love of God touch you. Let the love of God touch you. Come on, somebody. Come on. Come on right now. Right now. Right now. Yes, we need faith. Yes, we need hope. But we need the love of God. We need the love of God. We need the love of God. All right, you can be seated. Just a little bit longer and I'll be done. And so we try to love people. We try to reach them in the Holy Ghost. But then we find out things about them, and it hinders our witness. And it hinders our witness because we are loving them through our love. And we are still bound by our own shame. So especially when it's an area that we were affected in, all of a sudden, a wall and a barrier goes up. We don't mean for it to happen. But you see, we haven't dealt with it here. And I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm about to say. I think there are some counseling that's good and can help if you're really looking for answers. And there are sessions that definitely can help you get some things out. But I'm here to tell you that there's only one thing that can remove your shame, and that's the love of God. Somewheres in this walk with God, watch me, you have got to stop loving yourself with your own love. That's our problem. I can only accept God loving me as much as I love myself. And so I know me better than anybody, except for maybe my wife. Dear Lord, she's even got my passwords. I hope nobody ever gets that because I only got one. Well, it has different forms. They gave out my address a moment ago with my zip code. They might as well gave my social security number and my password out too, I guess. I'm just kidding. So we look at ourselves and we can only love ourselves to a certain point. And we allow the love of God to flow into us. But then there's a barrier. You want to know where that barrier is? It's the place where you can't forgive yourself. It's where your love stops. And so you've loved yourself. You like this about you. You like that about you. You like that about you. That's okay. That looks pretty good. Not a bad haircut. My wife cut my hair last night. I emphasize on night. as in dark, on a dimly lit porch. But it's amazing what hair gel would do. Anyway, where was I going? Oh, yeah. So we like certain things about us, and God can flow in and through us in those areas. But then there's the hidden secrets deep in our heart. And the reason why God can't get in there and flush that out is because we've never been letting God flow through His love. We've only let Him flow through our love. See, as much as I love myself, I allow Him to love me. And that's our problem. Because not only does it go this way, not only does it hinder this, it hinders this. And so now it hinders me from doing the work of God, because I can help you as long as you line up in my area of love. I can work with you because you line up in my area of love. But if you're outside of those barriers, I just can't help you. You deserve what you get. And if you go to a devil's hell, well, I guess that's what you just deserve. Because I'm not loving you with God's love. I'm loving you with my love. I've come to tell you today that God is commanding you to let go of your love and let my God have mercy. And accept, listen, accept His unqualified love. Love for you. Nothing qualifies the love of God. He loves you regardless. And if you'll understand that today, the love of God will come into you. And no matter what you've done, and no matter what's been done to you, the love of God will wash it clean out of you. And then you'll have faith, hope, charity, and nothing will stop you. Clap your hands to the Lord. Give God praise. All right, I want to carry that one more step. Paul said, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity. The love of God. And he said, if you're going to make it in this world, you're going to need all three. All three of them are going to help you. And so what happens is that we let God flow through our faith. We let Him flow through our hope. And we see wonderful things. But He hits a wall when it comes to our love. And that's your hindrance in your walk with God, is the love of God in your life. And it's why you can't grow any further or get any stronger. It's why you can't break the chains that have had you. You will talk in tongues. Listen, this is reality. Are you with me? We want to fake this stuff, but you can't fake this stuff. This is reality. You'll talk in tongues for 30 minutes and weep and cry, speak in tongues and dance, and walk out of here, and you still walk out of here with shackles on your feet. And the same thing that condemned you when you came in condemned you when you went out. And you are still battling the same devil, if I can say it that way, it's really you. You're still battling the same thing in your flesh and in your spirit over and over and over, because you've never let the love of God forgive you. And just let it go. You say, "Wow, this is, why is this important?" I'll tell you why. Because you look unstoppable. Lay hands on the sick, and they recover. You point your finger, and you say, "Be gone, you devil." And he quivers and shakes. Whew. Flees out. Goes into pigs. Repeating the word of God and Jesus himself. And then the hope of God is in you. And it's strong. And you're just walking along this path. But the devil's not ignorant. And so he quits challenging you in your faith. And he bypasses the power of your hope. And he steps right into your shame because he found something out. He found out you never let him wash you in that area. Lift your hands and pray right now. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, she's unstoppable. God, her faith and her hope. Look at the impact she's having. Look at the souls. Lord, we're about to lift her up one more level. A level that the devil will never be able to hinder. Depression will never come again. Fear will never come again. Because the love of God is going to wash shame out of her heart and out of her life. In the mighty name of Jesus, I lift you up above. I lift you up above. Be cleansed. Be cleansed. Be cleansed. Somebody else, you need to lift your hands right now. I feel that spirit in the house right now. I feel it right now. Come on. Let the love of God come into your life. Let the love of God come upon you right now. Let his love cleanse you. Let his love flow through you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Receive it. 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 Let his love flow. Let his power flow. Let his anointing flow. Be cleansed. Faith, hope, charity. Faith, hope, charity. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. You better look out, devil. You better look out, devil. I'm getting a hold of the love of God. I'm getting a hold of the love of God. He's going to cleanse me. He's going to purify me. Let's stand to our feet. No music. No music. We don't need it. Stand to your feet. I challenge you to come to this altar. I challenge you to make your way to this altar and let the love of God overwhelm you. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. It's going to happen in this altar. It's going to happen in this altar. God's going to add his love to your faith, to your hope. It's going to come charity. God is going to cleanse shame. God's going to cleanse unforgiveness. God's going to cleanse you of condemnation. Come on. It's the power that's in this altar. I challenge you to come. I challenge you to come. I challenge you to come. Come on. Come on. Don't hold back. Come on. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Don't let the devil hold you in your shame. You know what I'm talking about. It's the only hold he has on you. He can't affect your faith. He cannot affect your hope. But he's gotten up in your life. Come on. Don't love yourself with your own love. Love yourself with the love of God. Let God forgive you. Let God cleanse you. It's going to increase your walk. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to give you a power like you've never known. Every time you go to do something for God, the devil brings that up in your life. Every time you go to do something for God, the devil reminds you of your past. He reminds you of your deeds. He reminds you of what was done to you or what you've done. It hinders your walk with God. It hinders your work with God. You have the faith. You have the hope. When you get a hold of the love of God, nothing will stop you. When the devil reminds you, you'll say, I know, devil, but I've been cleansed. I know, devil, but God loves me anyway. I know, devil, but I'm walking in the love of God.